I'd like you to turn with me this evening to the Gospel of John, and to John's Gospel, chapter 13. The 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, which deals primarily with the Savior washing the feet of the disciples. But John chapter 13, and we'll commence reading at verse 18. And here the Lord is speaking. And the Lord Jesus says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I sent receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast. Or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. Amen. We pray the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of the Lord's own holy and infallible word. Once again, before we consider the Lord's word to our hearts this evening, let us look to the Lord once more in prayer, and let us seek the Lord's face. Most gracious Father, we give thee thanks again tonight for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, and the one who is the Savior of many of us here tonight. And we pray, our God, that as we turn to thy holy word, that this night we all might hear the voice of the Lord. Yea, Lord, it would be our prayer this night that thou will come and speak to us. Unstop our deaf ears. And O gracious God, tonight open hearts, as thou did open the heart of Lydia, Lord, tonight may some soul have their heart open to receive Jesus Christ. Lord, bring salvation to this house this evening. Grant that in all things it'll be said this night will bring glory and honor to thy holy name. Fill us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit and with power. Help us, Lord, to preach the word in sincerity and earnestness of heart. And Lord, we'll give thee the glory. Always give thee the glory. For thou art worthy. Amen. John chapter 13. And our text for this evening is found there in the 30th verse. He, that is Judas Iscariot, then having received the sup, went immediately out. And it was night. The Lord Jesus knew all along which one of the 12 would betray him. And when the Savior gathered with his disciples in the upper room for the Passover feast, that act of betrayal was nearer than ever it had been before. As we read in our opening verse of this chapter, Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. And so there was the Lord Jesus Christ sitting with his disciples, knowing that with the other disciples sat Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray him. So there you have Judas, and there you have Jesus. And I cannot help but notice the contrast there is and what we can see between Judas and what we see in the Lord Jesus. You think of these two individuals who were poles apart. Jesus condescended to wash the feet of his disciples, while Judas, by his act of betrayal, descended. Jesus stooped to wash the feet of the disciples, but Judas fell into greater sin when he betrayed Christ. Jesus loved and loved to the very end. But Judas never loved at all. The life of the Lord Jesus was one of self-sacrifice. The life of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, was one of self-seeking. Christ was true through and through. Judas Iscariot was a traitor through and through. And he is about to commit that act of betrayal. He is about to leave the company of the Lord and his disciples. And after he would receive the sup, that morsel of bread, from the hand of the Lord Jesus, there was no more reason for Judas Iscariot to remain in their company. And so we read, he then, having received the sup, went immediately out. And then John, in his record of the event, adds these words, and it was night. As though to emphasize the blackness of the deed that he was about to commit. As though to remind us of the words spoken by the Savior at the beginning of his ministry, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. John said, he, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. It was night. Judas went out into the darkness. And as though to draw our attention to the fact that Judas was stepping out, not only into the darkness of the night, but after what he did that evening, Judas Iscariot went out into the night of a lost eternity. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. And Judas Iscariot was about to enter into the night for which there would be no day. A night that Judas Iscariot would enter into. And he would never see the light of day again. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out. And it was night. Judas, first of all, in this passage of Scripture and in this action, we find that for Judas it was a night of timely warnings. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. But for Judas, he received numerous warnings that night. As he sat there with the other disciples and with the Lord Jesus, Judas was left without excuse and could not say he was not warned about the consequences of committing his evil deed, or of finally rejecting Jesus Christ. And I want to say this, that for any in this gathering this evening who is, like Judas Iscariot, a Christ rejecter, before this meeting is over, by the grace and the help of God, you will be left without excuse on the day of judgment. For God giving me help this evening, I will let you know where you stand, and I will tell you tonight about the consequences of rejecting Jesus Christ. And you'll not be able to stand before God in the day of judgment and say, that man Cranston never told me. For by God's grace, I'll tell you. And the Lord Jesus demonstrated his grace that night. Because I find that there in the upper room, before Judas went out, Judas was warned 5 times. Warned against what he was about to do. 5 is the number of grace. And without a doubt, the Lord Jesus demonstrated his grace that night, even with regard to the one whom he knew all along was the one who would sell him for nothing more than 30 pieces of silver. Why, the Lord Jesus had already invited Judas to sit at the table. That was grace. He had already washed his feet along with the other disciples. Was that not grace? I tell you, it took grace to do such a thing. But then, isn't that Jesus Christ? He's all grace. And here he demonstrates that grace again by speaking with Judas, giving him 5 warnings about what he was about to do. The first of these warnings shows the discernment of the Lord Jesus. The Savior, as we've said, just washed the feet of his disciples. But when he spoke about Judas Iscariot, he was not speaking about the washing of his flesh. Was not talking about how clean his flesh was, but rather about how clean his heart and his soul were. Look at verse 10. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to be wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. He's talking about Judas. And these words should have arrested Judas there and then. Ye are clean, but not all. The Lord knew, of course, just how evil the heart of Judas was. We read in verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. You see, the Lord Jesus saw the heart of Judas. Something that the other disciples couldn't see. But that's the way it is, isn't it? Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And the Lord Jesus knew the heart of Judas. And that's why he said, ye are clean, but not all. Judas knew who he was talking about. Mark the words again. Ye are clean, but not all. And the words of the Lord Jesus comes to this congregation tonight. And I repeat those words. Ye are clean, but not all. Can everyone in this gathering this evening say, yes, I have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. I've been to Jesus for the cleansing power and I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are there not some here this evening who, like Judas, are still unclean? You're not saved, are you? And you know it. You know where you stand with God. You know that you have no standing with God at all because, like Judas, you have an unclean heart. And the Lord knows it. Oh, you may try and bluff and fool the minister and the elders of the church. Maybe a young person tonight and you've fooled your parents for years. You know you're not saved. More importantly, God knows it. Ye are clean, but not all. You're unclean. And God knows about your unclean heart. God knows about your unclean mind and your unclean thoughts. Your unclean actions and your unclean soul. And I would fear for your eternal welfare if tonight, like Judas, you went out of this meeting and went out into the night. Because for you it could be the night a lost eternity. You could be in hell tonight. I tell you. You could be in hell tonight. You could experience the darkness of hell forever, starting tonight. If you reject Christ, do you not think it's time you got to the cross and said, tonight, wash me, O Lamb of God. Wash me from sin. By thine atoning blood, O make me clean. Purge me from every stain. Let me thine image gain. In love and mercy reign over all of my life. And I think it's time you got right with God. Because remember, Judas, having received the sup, went immediately out. And it was night. Second warning came, and this warning came by way of the deed against the Lord. Once again, the Savior singles out Judas as the one who would betray him. Look at verse 18. The Lord Jesus again spoke those words, I speak not of you all. He's singling out Judas. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. That was plain enough, was it not? Judas knew who he was talking about. He that eateth bread with me. He had just given Judas the piece of bread, the sup. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And there he separates Judas from the rest of the company. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt as you've sat in that pew, On other occasions, as Dr. Allison has preached here, or other ministers have preached here, and you've said in your heart, that man's speaking to me. You ever felt that way? It's as if for you there's nobody else in the building. It's as if you're the only one in the place of worship. And the word that has come from this pulpit to you, you feel that word, that preacher speaking to me, to me. Somebody has told him all about me. Somebody has had a word in his ear and told him all about me. I have had instances like that. Remember, a young man brought a young lady to the church. I was ministering in Northern Ireland. They preached the gospel. At the end of the service, the young woman got saved. But that's what she told me. She said, I thought you were talking about me the whole night. And I thought somebody had told you all about me. You know what that is? That's the voice of God. And I'll tell you this. If you've ever felt that way, and maybe you feel that way tonight, and you feel as though that what we have said already really applies to you, and you've been singled out, I want to say this, you ought to thank God for that. You ought to thank God that He's still speaking to you. You ought to thank God that He's still singling you out, that He's paying particular and personal attention to you. As you go on the way you're going, and the day will come when He'll not speak again. And I'll tell you this, you are as good as being in hell when God stops speaking. You better watch yourself. You better be careful. All the Sabbath days that have passed out into eternity you've set in this house, and like Judas Iscariot, you would not yield or bend to Christ. Instead, you've been against Him. Yes. Yes, you're against Christ tonight. If you have not received Him, you're against Him. No middle ground. It's one or the other. You're either for Christ or against Him. You may read your Bible. You may pray. You may attend a good, sound, fundamentalist, separated, gospel preaching, Christ exalting church. But if you don't know the Christ of the church, you're against Him. You stand with Judas tonight. Been in the Lord's house for years. Sat under many a sermon. Souls in hell tonight would love to hear just one more sermon. Love to be where you are now. But they never will be or never can be. Because you're against Christ. And you'll join them. Terrible thing to be against Christ in life. It's a tragedy. To be against Christ in death. But to be against Christ in all eternity. Suffer the torments of hell and that will never change. You die against Christ, you'll spend eternity without Christ and against Him. No second chance. No opportunity to change your mind. It's too late. It's too late for Judas. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out. And it was night. Dear sinner, it's night out there. It's night out there. And I'm not talking about the night of this night, the darkness of this night, but the night of a lost eternity. It's night out there. You need to get saved. You need to get saved now. Another warning came. This had to do with his defection from the Lord. Not that Judas was ever one of the Lord's own. Not that he was ever a true disciple. But the Lord warns him about leaving his company. And that of his disciples, his fellow disciples. Look at verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. You see that? You see, that's another warning. See how the Lord once again is applying the word to Judas. One of you will betray me. Notice how he points out the crowning sin of Judas Iscariot, that of betrayal. When you think of Judas Iscariot, you never think of him as anything else other than the betrayer. There are some individuals in this world, and when their name is mentioned, you don't think of anything else other than their crowning sin. Terrible way to be, isn't it? Terrible way to go through this life. To be known for nothing else but some crowning evil deed. So it was with Judas. And that night, having received the sop, Judas Iscariot went out, and it was night. And Judas Iscariot was never favored with the Lord's presence again. That was it. Never sat in the Lord's presence ever again. Never. He went out into the night. It was a dark night indeed. For he was never to sit with Christ ever again. Never to be with the Lord Jesus. Never again to be in the company of the disciples. Indeed, Judas Iscariot had more in common with the enemies of Christ than the friends of Christ. Look at John 18. John 18 and verse 5. Judas has come to Gethsemane with the band to take the Lord. And we read in verse 4, we read, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. Notice the word he is in italics. Jesus said unto them, I am, before Abraham was, I am. He was telling them he's God. And there they came with their silly ropes and their staves and their swords to arrest God. Foolish men. The Lord Jesus said, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. He stood with them. He's on the other side. He always was on the other side. He always was on the side of the enemies of Jesus Christ, but now it's out in the open. Now everybody knows. Judas had more in common with the enemies of Jesus Christ than the friends of Christ. And so being against Christ, he was more at home, more comfortable standing with the enemies of Christ. I wonder, is there anybody here tonight and you're the same as that? You play the part on the Lord's day. When you go to work tomorrow, it'll be a different thing. You go to school tomorrow, it'll be a different thing. When you feel more at home, more comfortable standing with the ungodly, you laugh at their unclean jokes. You'll not mind if they take the Lord's name in vain. You're quite comfortable. You're like Judas. You stand with them. Well, I'll tell you something. You die the way you are, and you'll stand with them at the judgment bar of God. You'll stand with them. You'll stand with the murderers. You'll stand with the unclean. You'll stand with the pedophiles. You'll stand with all those who live their lives in the sewers of this world. You'll stand with them. And you'll stand with Judas. He'll be there. You know what the Lord says tonight to you? The Lord Jesus says tonight through the gospel, he says, sinner, come unto me. Come. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's interesting. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That word rest is used again over in Revelation. That word is used there to describe those who have no rest in hell, day or night. It's the same word. You see, they who had gone through life and rejected Jesus Christ never knew anything of the rest that Jesus would give them. So now they are in hell tonight, and they have no rest, no rest, even though it was offered to them. And here's the Lord tonight offering you that rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I'll give you peace of mind, I'll give you peace of heart, I'll bring peace to your soul. Oh my, would you not grab it with both hands? Might be the last opportunity you'll have to do that. Because if you don't come to Christ, Perhaps the next word you will hear is, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." It's night out there. And Judas then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. And Judas is still experiencing that night, that darkness. And the Bible describes the darkness of hell as a darkness that can be felt. That'd scare you, wouldn't it? Scare me. And in a darkness that can be felt. And no hope of a dawn. No hope of a sunrise. No hope of ever seeing the day. Oh, my friend, you need to come. Young person, you need to come. Don't go out tonight. Don't walk in the footsteps of Judas Iscariot and go out into the night. Come to Christ, who's the light of the world. Hallelujah. Come into the light. Now comes another word from the Lord for Judas, and it comes by way of the discovery by the Lord. Not that the Lord just made the discovery that Judas was one who would betray him. We've already pointed that out. But he revealed the truth about Judas now. Look at verse 25. John 13, verse 25. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, namely John, saith unto him, "Lord, who is it? Who's going to betray thee?" Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now it's out in the open. Peter felt that he couldn't ask the Lord the identity of the betrayer. But he knew that John could ask him. John was nearer to the Lord than any of the disciples. Why, he was leaning on his breast. I tell you something, people who are nearer to Christ can ask more of Christ than others who are not so near. John was able to ask the Lord, and the Lord said, "He it is to whom I shall give the sup when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot. There it is. Everybody knows now. Out in the open. Sham has been pulled away. Falseness of Judas's profession has been exposed. Now everybody knows the truth about Judas. Would this not come tonight as a warning to one and all? That the day is coming when the truth will be revealed about every one of us. My friend, does that not scare you tonight, the thought of that? When the truth shall be revealed about you, for this secret that Judas had kept revealed for so long, had now been exposed. And that day is coming for you, my friend. That day is coming as sure as you're sitting in this Free Presbyterian Church tonight. That day is coming when your secret sins will be exposed and your scarlet sins will all be brought to light, and your shocking sins and your shameful sins will all be brought to the light. The day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, Paul said, and the truth will be revealed then. You know what I think you'd be better doing? I think you'd be better tonight coming and telling the truth about yourself. I think you'd be better being truthful tonight rather than wait to have the truth about you revealed on the day of judgment for all to see. I think you'd be better tonight coming and saying, Lord, the truth is, I'm a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. The truth is, I've tried to bluff my parents, I've tried to bluff the minister, I've tried to fool everybody. But Lord, the truth is, I'm not saved at all. And I want to be saved. You're not the better doing that tonight. Rather than following Judas Iscariot and going out into the night. Better do it now. And wait for that day when the books are opened and another book is opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. It's all down there. It's all written down against your name. You'll be judged according to those things that are written in the books. Now you can have those things erased tonight, hallelujah. You come tonight and seek the cleansing power of the blood. And in an instant, every sin will be erased. Everyone. You'll stand before God complete in Christ. Look at the dismissal by the Lord. The last word of that meeting to Judas came from the lips of the Savior. Verse 27. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him. Here's the last word. That thou doest, do quickly. It's the last word Christ spoke to Judas until he met him later in Gethsemane. You talk about grace. When Christ met Judas in Gethsemane, how did he address him? Friend. Called him friend. Wherefore art thou come? But here's his last word to Judas that night in the upper room. The Lord had nothing more to say to this man. Nothing more. Judas had sat under the ministry of Christ for over 3 years. And that night in the upper room, the Lord had given warning after warning after warning. Now he had nothing more to say. Except what thou doest. Do quickly. It was as if Judas had crossed over the dead line at last. He had reached the point of no return. You ever visit Niagara? Walk along the Niagara River. See those mighty waters flowing down towards the falls. You'll see a sign out in the middle of the river. That sign has these words written on it. The point of no return. Such is the power of the waters and the flow of the waters there. There's no way of getting back once you pass that point. It's the point of no return. Judas had reached the point of no return. What thou doest, Judas, do quickly. I have nothing more to say to you. Nothing more to say. After many words and after many sermons and after witnessing many miracles, Christ had nothing more to say to Judas Iscariot except, Judas, get it over with. What thou doest, do quickly. Maybe after tonight, I don't know. But I have to say it anyway. Maybe tonight is the last time the Lord will speak to you. You go out, follow the footsteps of Judas Iscariot and go out into the night. You will do so with the words of Christ ringing in your ears. And maybe the last time he'll ever speak to you. That'll be it. He'll have nothing more to say. And you will have crossed, gone past the point of no return. My spirit shall not always strive with man. All manner of blasphemy shall be forgiven. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven in this world, neither in the world to come. And the one who's speaking to you now is the Holy Spirit. And you grieve him. And he may never speak again. And there'll be no forgiveness in this world or the world to come. Dreadful thought. Dreadful. It's a night of timely warnings. It was a night of terrible wickedness. That night that Judas went out. Was there ever a night of such wickedness as the night Judas betrayed the Son of God? I don't believe so. When you consider, first of all, the plot. Before Judas had come to the supper that night with the Lord and the other disciples, he was already plotting with the chief priests how he might betray the Lord. You can read over in Matthew 26, verses 14 to 16, how Judas went to the chief priests. They didn't come to him. He went to them and said, "What will you give me?" And they struck a deal. "We'll give you 30 pieces of silver." That was the deal. He came to the meeting with the Savior that night as one who was plotting the arrest and death of Christ. And he remained in that meeting, unmoved, untouched by the words of the Lord. Unmoved. And I know that. Because it says, "He then, having received the sup, went immediately out." without a thought. He went immediately out to carry out his dastardly deed. And he did it without a thought. Many have done that. Many have done that. They've heard the gospel, been told about the graciousness and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ for sinners. They still go immediately out. They don't even think about it. They've been told about heaven. They've been warned about hell. They've been told about the lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. We've heard about the rich man who lifted up his eyes being in torments. In torments. Still, they go out of a gospel meeting without a thought. Don't even give it a thought. I trust you'll give it a thought tonight. I trust that this evening you'll not rush out of this meeting and be like Judas, whom we are told went to his own place. He went to his own place. He communed with the chief priests. And out to his own place. Where is your own place? Will you go to your own place in hell? Will you go to your own place there? Can you say that's my place? It is now. You die as you are tonight, you'll go to your own place. It'll be your place in hell. Very thought of it put shivers up your back. Your place in hell. And where is your place? I'll tell you where it is. A place with no hope. It is a place where there's no grace. It's a place where there's no sermons. It's a place where there is no blood. A place where there's no prayers. A place where there's no escape. Place where there's no God. That'll be your place. You go out of this meeting tonight, like Judas, go out into the night. You may step into the night of a lost eternity and fall into your own place. There's no hope. No sermons. No opportunities. No help, no hope. A wall of fire around you. The cries of lost, damned souls echoing and re-echoing through the corridors of hell. And you in your torments. And you look around for help, and there's none. And you'll look up and you'll see those words blazing back at you in hell forever. Judas is there. He's in his own place. I wonder, will you join him? You will if you don't accept Christ. And the price, we all know what the price was, 30 pieces of silver. didn't put a very high value on the Lord, and he didn't put a very high value on his own soul. He hadn't put a very high value on his soul at all. He not only sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver, but he sold his own soul. He loved the money. He was a thief. All he wanted was 30 pieces of silver. That's what he sold his soul for. 30 pieces of silver. You know, there are men today and they'll sell their soul even for a lot less. They'll sell their soul for a bottle of booze. They'd rather hold on to their booze as claim Jesus Christ. They'll sell their soul for their drugs. They'll rather have their drugs than Jesus Christ. I'd rather have some other vice in this world, some other trinket of the devil, than have Jesus Christ. That's a bad deal. That's no deal at all. Jesus Christ is here tonight and he's ready. He's ready to save you. Remember what he said? Come, and I will give you rest. No barriers, no pitfalls, no obstructions. It's a straight path to Christ. And he's waiting with open arms. He'll receive you, he'll welcome you, he'll love you, he'll keep you, he'll be with you. Forever. You think of the promise. Judas made a promise to those who gave him the 30 pieces of silver. Luke 22 verses 5 and 6. He promised that he would betray Christ into their hands, and Judas kept his promise. Judas reminds me of those who promise themselves they will never bow the knee to Jesus Christ, and up until now they've kept their promise. He reminds me of those who promise themselves that they will never become a Christian, and up to this point they've kept their promise. He reminds me of those who have said, I will not have this man to rule over me, and up to this moment they have kept their promise. He reminds me of those who say, I'm not going to be one of those goody-goody people, those churchgoers, those praying people, those Bible-believing, Bible-reading people. I don't want to be one of them. And up until now, they've kept their promise. Because you're neither a Christian, a believer, a Bible reader, or a man of prayer. Well, then you should be told tonight. Judas kept his promise and he went straight down to hell. You know what the Lord said about Judas Iscariot? Jesus Christ said of Judas Iscariot, it would have been better for that man to never have been born. That's something to say. And I'll be brutally honest tonight. You die and go to hell, it would have been better for you never to have been born. Because I tell you this, when you go down into the darkness, and you suffer the torments of hell, you'll curse the day you were ever born. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. And finally, and very briefly, we see that it was a night of terrifying woe. It's a terrifying thing to behold a man whose soul has crossed the deadline at last, and for whom there is no hope. Then to hear him cry in this doomed and damned state, "I have sinned. In that I have betrayed the innocent blood." That was the lament of Judas. And in Matthew 27 verses 3 to 5 he speaks there of how he recognized he was condemned and repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver. He tried to reverse what had happened, but it was too late. Remember, it crossed the deadline. It passed the point of no return. He was condemned, and there was no deliverance. He repented, but there was no forgiveness. He returned the silver, and there was no acceptance. And there is Judas. He prayed, but nobody answered. He cried, and there was nobody to dry his tears. He sorrowed, and there was no one to sympathize. He had passed the point of no return. He had sinned away his soul forever. You don't want to do the same thing, do you? Surely not. His lament, his loneliness. Judas returned the 30 pieces of silver to his co-conspirators, but there wasn't a man interested. They threw the silver down. "You can keep it. We don't want it." And suddenly the 30 pieces of silver had lost their sparkle. Didn't look as attractive anymore. And for lost souls, that bottle of whiskey, when they're in a lost eternity, it'll not have the same appeal. When they think back of how they gave up Christ for a bottle of whiskey. They gave up Christ for a packet of cigarettes. They gave up Christ for some vile vice. And when they're in hell, those things will not seem as attractive anymore. And the loneliness. Yes, there'll be thousands and tens of thousands in a lost eternity. But hell must be the loneliest place for any soul. There's no companionship. There's no friendship. There's no love. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. And that night Judas lost everything he had. Everything. Everything. And it culminated in the loss of his soul. Can't lose your soul, friend. You don't want to lose your soul. You may lose your health. You may lose your business. Lose your house. But can afford to lose your soul. No. You can't afford to lose your soul. Can't afford to go out into the night. Can't afford it. Jesus is here ready to save. Hallelujah. Bless his name. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done or what you've said or where you've been. Jesus will save you. If you come to him tonight. If you embrace him as your Savior. He'll take you in. Miss Christ, you've missed heaven. There's only one hope for a world of sin. There's only one door you can enter in. There's only one Jesus. There's only one way. There's only one Lord. My Jesus turns the night to day. He's the truth, the life, the way. Heaven may fade and earth decay. Still, there's only one way. There's only one name that can save the lost. There's only one blood that can pay the cost. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Lord. There's only one way. Judas refused that way. And he's in the night of a Christless sinner's hell. As we are sitting here in this church tonight, Judas is in hell. He's been there for 2,000 years, and you know something? His hell has hardly yet just begun. Hardly begun. Will you do the same? You going to walk into the night tonight? Turning a deaf ear to what you've heard. Are you going to say tonight, Jesus, I come. Just as I am. Without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Written by Charlotte Elliot. Was confined to a wheelchair. And she thought the Savior would not accept someone like her. Until at a meeting one night she heard the preacher say, come just as you are. Charlotte Elliot came just as she was. And glory to God, Christ received her. And she wrote those words, just as I am. That's the way you come. Will you come tonight? Remember the words again. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out. And it was night. Let's bow our heads in prayer. As we're bowed in prayer, I ask you to remember the words you've heard tonight. The words the Lord said to the disciples. Ye are clean, but not ye all. This congregation is divided into two tonight. Those who are clean, washed in the blood, and those who are not. And Jesus knows who you are. he's saying to you this night, come and be cleansed. And will you come? God has spoken to your heart, as he has done many times before. I trust you'll not go immediately out. You'll not go immediately out of Malvern Free Presbyterian Church and go out into the night. You'll stay behind and say, preacher, I need to talk to you. Will you do that? Will you stay behind tonight? If you're afraid, ask someone to stay behind with you. Speak to me or any of the elders. You need to get saved tonight. You need to settle it this evening. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. Stay behind and get right with God. Our God and loving Father, we thank thee that indeed there is only one way. And how glad we are that there is a way at all. For if it were not for thy love and thy grace and mercy, every way would have been shut up against us and have been left to our sin. But we're glad there is a way back to God. From the dark paths of sin. And it's at Calvary's cross is where we begin as we come as sinners to Jesus. Oh, that some sinner will come tonight. Lord, draw them this evening with the cords of Calvary love. Answer prayer. Bring some son or some daughter into the fold. Some husband, some wife. Under the blood, some mother, some father, get right with God. Bless the work and the witness here. Oh God, answer prayer. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now. And until the day breaks, and the shadows all flee away. Amen.